Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights, conversations exploring network transformation through interviews with industry experts.
Welcome to Chip Chat Network Insights. My name is Allison Klein. We're coming to you live from the NFE World Congress in San Jose, and I am delighted to be joined by Mark Cohn, VP of Network Strategy at the Linux Foundation. Welcome, Mark.
Thank you, Allison.
So, Mark, I know that you have a very seasoned history in the industry. Do you want to just provide some background on yourself and how you came to be the VP of Network Strategy at Linux Foundation?
Well, I've been involved in the open community for the last 5 or 6 years, beginning with the Open Networking Foundation that got started in 2011, way back then. And shortly after that, I got involved in the open source community with a Linux Foundation initiative that's called Open Daylight, which of course is the SDN controller framework. That's gained quite a bit of momentum over the last couple of years. It's actually now supporting production deployments, representing hundreds of millions of subscribers. As I got involved in not just Open Daylight, but SDN in general, the companion technology became increasingly important, which is Network Functions Virtualization, or NFV. And I've actually participated in the NFV industry group as well. And by having the perspective of looking at SDN, looking at NFV, and then recognizing pretty quickly that they need to go together, it sort of fed my interest in getting more involved in some of the broader initiatives that have been unfolding over the last couple of years, namely open orchestration. And when I was involved in an NFV startup that unfortunately didn't make it, I then actually had an opportunity to join the Linux Foundation full time and then took on a big challenge, which is the OpenO project, which is a open source orchestration project that actually ties together the orchestration of services across NFE and SDN and legacy networks as well.
Now, OpenO is going through another transformation as we head into the second quarter of 2017. Do you want to tell me a little bit about it?
Sure. OpenO is a very aggressive project that got announced at Mobile World Congress 2016. A few months later, actually was formed. And then 5 months to the day from the day we formed it, we actually delivered our first release. So OpenO was a very successful open source project in general. However, the community and the broader carrier world decided that we need to really put a lot more effort and attention on open source orchestration, open source management and orchestration, or MANO. And AT&T actually got started a project that was called eComp. And eComp is really another open orchestration platform that AT&T has actually deployed. Soon after the OpenO project got started, there were discussions from AT&T about bringing to light a new open source capability based on eComp. And that unfolded over the 2016, and then leading up to a February 27th announcement of 2017 that we were going to create a new open source project that included open source eComp as well as the OpenO project. And that merge is quite significant because it represents the convergence around a single platform for end-to-end service orchestration.
And enter into the world open network automation platform.
Exactly. And the open network automation platform, or ONAP as we've been calling it, is that project. It is just starting to get underway. It's attracted significant operator support, representing close to 40% of the world's mobile subscribers. On top of that, most of the major solution providers are strongly behind the ONAP initiative. And we're just getting the technical discussion underway this week. AT&T is hosting a meeting right now to talk about architecture and the merge technical approach.
What I think is interesting here is that the comm service providers are also coming into play here. And you know, another experiences that I've had with open source, we do see end customers come in to provide guidance, but not nearly as deeply in some cases as what we're seeing with ONAP. Tell me a little bit about what you think is driving that engagement in ONAP as well as other open source efforts.
That's a really good observation because the traditional open source community and projects are really focused on more technical topics that are mostly staffed by vendors. There's an occasional operator involvement. But if we look back to the first big project, Open Daylight, we had no operators when we started the project. And now when we look at ONAP, we have significant operator participation. I think that's attributed to a couple things. First of all, open source is clearly moving up the stack. It's moving closer to operators to the things that they really care about, which is end-to-end services, as opposed to some of the underlying technologies that are necessary, but not necessarily in the operational domain. They're more in the technology domain. The second thing is that ONAP represents a unprecedented convergence. I mean, typically we go in the opposite direction. We take one group and maybe split it into multiple initiatives. But this is a case where we had insightful operators and vendor participants that recognized the opportunity to be able to converge around a common platform. And because of the complexity necessitated by orchestration in general, we really need the critical mass behind it. It's really not okay to say we're going to have many different projects going in many directions and see which one thrives. Mm-hmm. That would be a huge waste of resources.
Sure. When you think about what this provides in terms of a key capability to network transformation, what do you think is the most important thing that this group could go off and actually accomplish? And from your experiences within the open arena, how long will the industry need to wait to see production from an ONAP organization?
Well, I think we have at least a data point on production. I mean, one of the significant contributors to ONAP is, of course, Ecomp. That's in production today at AT&T. So we at least have seed code and an existence proof that we can go in and deploy. Mm-hmm. But in an open platform, we're going to need the collaboration of not just the operators, but the solution providers and the innovators as well. There's technical vendors who are providing additional pieces that are not necessarily the world's largest solution providers, but those who are critical as well. And what I believe is going to happen is that we need to create the community. The community is mm-hmm. what is going to be the difference here. If we can take this relatively large group of initial participants and gel them into that community sooner, then we're going to see a ONAP release train mm-hmm. that's going to be closer to deployment. If it takes longer to create that community, then you know it's going to be directly proportional to that objective. So I would think that considering that our experience with open source is that it takes 3 or 4 releases in order to go from the initial formation of a project into production, I think ONAP is probably going to be along those same lines. And with a 6-month release cadence, it could take a couple of years to get to that point.
I'm going to change tactics on you a little bit. You were here at the NFE World Congress event for a fireside chat on DevOps growing pains. Tell me what you think about that. I mean, DevOps was the hottest term in the industry a few years ago. Where are we today and why growing pains?
Well, first of all, I think that DevOps is real in the cloud world. And since NFE and SDN are both leveraging cloud technologies, that's why it's on the agenda today with a large operator. So we don't have to convince anybody that this is an important area and an important transformation that likely will take place sooner rather than later. However, that being said, DevOps cuts at the heart of the big challenge of SDN. And what is that? That's the organizational side. It's not the technology side. It's not necessarily even the operational side, because we're on the path toward automation. But mm-hmm. on the organizational side, it becomes much, much more challenging, especially considering the size and the magnitude and the entrenchment of existing organizations for these very large operators.
Sure.
Because what they're going to need to do is to break down some of the silos. And we know that without the appropriate internal incentives, that just doesn't happen by itself. So I think another challenge and one of the reasons why we're experiencing growing pains is that open source represents a big step toward DevOps for many of the operators. Or in other words, we're moving from a couple of years cycle to actually move a new release into production to maybe a 6-month release cycle with open source that'll soon, with agile development techniques, continue to shrink toward the more continuous development. But even to move to 6 months is a pretty big leap for many operators.
Sure.
So we're just at an early stage, I think, and we're taking the right steps, but we have a ways to go before organizations are really ready for what DevOps represents.
Well, Mark, it's been a pleasure talking to you today. I am always grateful at a conference like this one that you can take time out of your schedule to spend with Chip Chat. One final question for you. For those who are listening in on Open Network Automation Platform, they may want to get involved, join the organization, do something. Where can they go for more information?
They can visit our website first, which is onap.org.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Allison.